Valerie L. Collymore, M.D., Bellevue, Washington. About 3 years ago, I arrived at a financial crossroads. I could see two choices up ahead. I could continue to creep along the slow-moving economic side road that I had traveled my entire life. I kept this one-lane route because my fear of appearing financially stupid apparently outweighed my desire to become financially smart. My second choice could be to accelerate onto the financial freeway, filled with fast-moving cars steered by financially savvy and wealthy people who knew how to get where they wanted to go. The financial superhighway beckoned, but I was stuck on the on-ramp. I needed more than a push. A new fuel source and a different map that would reveal routes to the world I longed to inhabit were essential. An interesting occurrence pushed me to that crossroads. My family and I were living in Denver, where I had become involved in the charitable work circuit. Through volunteering, I met a couple of people who were refreshingly upfront about their modest educational backgrounds. They did not see themselves as being particularly intellectually gifted. They were, however, very wealthy. I learned by watching and listening to these individuals that there was another form of smart that went beyond advanced degrees. I realized that there were other lessons to be learned that didn't rely on what I knew so well, grades and degrees and diplomas that were supposed to ensure a financially secure existence. An intense desire for a completely different way to live, one that was not dependent on salaries, took hold. I began to see a way to achieve the goal of having time to enjoy family, serve my community, and pursue personal interests, while simultaneously securing our financial future. I started to believe that I, too, could achieve the peace of mind that goes with financial confidence. I wanted to find a way to educate myself, to be clever in a whole new way. As I opened my mind to this possibility, I began to seek the information I required. I remember thinking that a teacher appears when a person is ready to learn. Soon after, during one of my frequent scavenges at a local bookstore, I found Rich Dad, Poor Dad. My predicament might sound odd when I tell you that I'm a doctor. Pediatric medicine is my area of expertise. Furthermore, I am married to a physician who specializes in internal medicine. We met the first week of medical school at Columbia University's College of Physicians and Surgeons in New York City. Education was always regarded as a very high priority in my family. My father's parents had earned graduate school degrees, an accomplishment relatively unusual for African Americans at that time. My husband and I, who are in our 40s, continually stressed the importance of a good education to our two teenage daughters. But despite the academic accomplishments, the health and good fortune of our children, our good incomes, the rewarding community interactions, and the bright prospects, I knew a crucial piece was missing. That piece was a sense of long-term financial security. My husband, my daughters, and I lived comfortably. We spent some of our income on decent homes, travel, and nice cars. We made the maximum contributions each year to our 401k, but I often purchased more doodads than either my children or I needed. More often than I care to admit, we spent foolish amounts for no other reason than to please others, to behave as doctors were expected to behave. The way we structured our lives led to another problem. Acutely aware of the burnout suffered by physicians, and of the less-than-secure corporate climate of the past few years, I began to dare to ask myself that very scary question. What would happen if my husband wanted to exit or had to exit his given profession? We were entirely dependent on his income.